Hello everyone and welcome to On the Tee with Dr. P. We all know golf is a mind game. One little slip up can cause a downhill psychological slide, which is extremely difficult to climb back up. The mind game is so prevalent in golf that pros hire sports psychologists to save them from themselves. On this episode, I'm going to bring in my favorite sports psychologist to help me figure out my mental hangups. So let's get started. All right, everybody. So this time I decided, and we'll have a little bit of an academic twist to all this, but that it was time to reevaluate the mental game. And like I said, we all know that golf is a mental game. Much of it is, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing if you're playing well or if you're not. But I thought it would be a good idea to bring in, as I said, my favorite sports psychologist who tells me what's wrong and what's good all the time. And it's been a little while since we've had her on the show, and several of you really enjoyed her being here last time. So welcome back, Dr. P. Senior.
I'm certainly glad to be here, and yes, I'm going to tell you what's wrong with your mind game on the golf course.
Yes, you always do. So this is a good formal, it's on tape, so one of these days I can always go back and play it through my headphones, that or my earbuds of what you're doing. So I have to say, first of all, that I do not know what Dr. P. Senior is getting ready to ask me. I have no idea. This is a podcast that I was told that there was no research ahead of time. So we're going to see what's getting ready to happen here. But I do not know what's getting ready to happen right now.
Well, I'm your mother and I get to do that. So, and I've always done it since you were little. So yes, your golf game is affected by what's in your head. And I know some mm-hmm. of the things that happen with you mm-hmm. personally on the course. I think mm-hmm. these would have certainly reflect what anybody would have on the course. Yours are more specific, but things bother people and then you can't really perform sometimes.
Yes, it happens all the time. Everybody has weird. I've seen that on Twitter before where people will say, name your weirdest thing that you do. And people come up with all kinds of stuff.
Well, we have some weird things that
you
do.
We probably do.
We do. Now, so I thought we'd start with the pre-play, before we even go out to play.
Okay, so we've driven up, like at that point, like where we've gotten to the course, we have arrived.
Yes. I just need to mention one word here, and you'll know, it's clothing. Please tell them what your situation is.
Because, well, you have to look right, you have to match, you have to look like you know what you're doing. And I think that's fair. That's fair. You can't go out there and look ridiculous.
Well,
my hat and my glove have to match.
Like and your shoes.
And my shoes. It all has to jive. So if I have the black hat and the black glove and the black shoes. And if something is amiss on that,
well,
we've already started off on a bad foot.
You know, I show up in the old school white collared polo and my white golf shoes where I have two pair, and that doesn't seem to affect me very much. But remember the last time this went astray, you were in a hurry.
I had on the wrong shorts. I had on the wrong shorts and the wrong shoes, and it bothered me the rest of the day.
You couldn't play.
No, I had a terrible day. Yes. I had a terrible,
day.
But part of this comes from my fashion merchandising background. I've always been in retail, and I've always loved fashion and clothing. And I think a lot of the golf clothes out there are somewhat horrible. So you have to find some things that are extremely sporty and look good and fashionable and not ridiculous.
Okay, well, you know, you have a complete room in your house that is for clothes, which has now become a golf clothes room.
Yes, the golf shoes are separated from the regular shoes.
How many pair?
I don't know.
There's got to be 10.
Easy.
Easily.
Easy.
Of golf shoes.
They have to match.
I have two pair. So, see, that's in your head.
And very much
okay.
So.
See, some of this is in somebody's head, but it doesn't mean it's bad. It's
Right.
just affects your game.
So I have to go through that cycle even before I leave the house to look how I think it needs to happen.
Well, when you get out of the vehicle, I know whether you're going to be able to play or not. I've learned that. So, all right, so that's your clothing pre-play.
That's pre-play.
Yes.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
Now, let's try to get to the tea.
Okay.
What happens to us? It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
What happens to us? We can go, it can be rainy,
mm-hmm.
it can be 7:30 in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and what happens?
Any day of the week, it doesn't matter. We've made a tea time, we've called, we've told them we were coming, and we show up, and somebody's on the, they jump in front of us.
They run.
Run.
To get in front of us.
Every time.
It's amazing.
It's shocking. Nobody will believe this. No, anybody who's listening will not believe that that actually happens. And it does. And I'd say 90% of the time.
I would too. So we just do what? We adjust and go off the bat.
Yes. We've many a day said that's it. And we turn the cart around and get over to the number 10.
Yeah. And it works on our head because sometimes we go up to the tee thinking there's no one there, and there'll be a huge crowd of number one
that nobody told us about.
Right. So we turn and go.
Yeah.
Back.
So there's the crowd.
Right.
So the crowd kind of gets to you, sort of just like a retail store. You know, you walk in, there's a bazillion people. It makes you kind of crazy.
So there's something that gets in our head, but we've adjusted.
We still haven't teed off yet.
No, no. We have not.
We haven't even teed off.
No. All right. So we get on the course and. And I won't go through every hole that we play, but mm-hmm. number one is sort of interesting,
mm-hmm.
particularly with some things you have. And I think this is very strange. It's your iron selection.
My iron selection. What she's referring to there is after I have driven the ball, because it is a driving hole, you come up to your second shot, and you're going to have to make a pretty long one. To be able to get to your third shot to chip up. So it's a par five, right? Yeah, it's par five. And the second, so what I have to do on the second shot, which is always for me an iron shot, I pick up one of my irons that's either an odd iron, like a three, I do play a three iron, or a four. And so after I've hit that club, whichever one I pick, do I think to myself, is this going to be an even day or an odd day?
That's strange.
No, it's not strange because then, let's say I picked, like today, I picked a four and I hit it well. I hit it good.
What if you had not hit it well?
Then it's time to go to, it's going to be an odd day. The next club I shoot is going to be like probably a seven iron or a nine iron.
So you never vary. That's the thing that's odd is that you never change.
No, I don't go back. It's not weird. That is not weird.
Okay. Well,
and today was an even day.
Okay.
The whole way through.
It's in your head.
No. So, okay. It's just that's what happens.
All right. So now we're still on this number one hole. And there's something else about it, too. Because I can get down there in the valley in three, and you're down there in two. It's a par five.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an amazing situation because what happens with our shot? I'm trying to get up there in four and par. You're trying to birdie it. What happens with this shot that we have to make up the hill?
It's an extreme up the hill. It's not like a little. These are the mountains of East Tennessee, and it's very, very, very hilly.
Okay, so we hit the club we think is right. We stand there.
I know what you're getting ready to say. I know what you're going to say now. See, I didn't know what. Yep. She did not prep me for this. So what happens is, you get up and you hit the third shot, my third shot, and it's going to be a chip way up. But what happens is on this hole is the green is so far up there. You have to, even if you've gotten, you think, oh, I've hit this perfect. I've hit this good. It's up there. Just stand there for about, you can wait.
You can wait 5 or 6 seconds.
Easily.
You can count.
You easily can do that. And here comes the ball. Because it's a sloped green, it slopes back down towards the hill. And so you have mentally decided you have made a wonderful shot, but
no.
No. And what happens is it rolls all the way back down, and it's a long hill.
It rolls back to your feet.
Yes, all the way back down. So now you've got to hit the shot totally again.
Right.
But it's a mental game right there because you don't know what's going to happen. And even when you think you know the answer, It's wrong.
And the wrong answer is what we both do. What do we do then? We think it's going to come back, so we pick a club and do what?
Start heading up the hill.
Hit it. No. When we hit this shot, we both hit it so far so that it won't
that's
come back
true.
Down.
And now it's off the back.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's what we've started doing almost
I
every
did.
Time.
Yeah. And today, I did it. I did it really well and lost the ball.
So, see, that whole...
I never lose a ball. Never. Never. And it happened to me today, and I thought about it the rest of the way.
That's right. And I'm going to discuss that later.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Now, something that happens to us when we get out there, and I guess this happens to other people, it's the mower syndrome.
Oh, the mower syndrome.
The mower syndrome can ruin your game.
I understand the mowers. I do. We both understand. I've worked at 5-star, 5-diamond resorts with world-class golf courses, and they do have to mow. We get it. And maintain the course. And we have the best maintenance staff in the world at my club. But the mowers. And what's interesting about it is that we are always with them. Because, you know, the folks that play usually later in the day or on certain days, the mowers do not mow those days because certain people don't want to be bothered with the mowers.
Right.
So we're really good friends with most of the mower people.
They know us and wave at us.
They wave and, you know, it's real nice and everything.
Asked me to pick up stuff.
They did. They asked her to pick up stuff on the course. Okay. Yeah, so the mower, and what's the best part about it is that you're getting ready to hit a shot and it's the right up against you. A lot of mowers, you know, I have to say, some of the mowers that we have will idle the engine, get off to the side, even stop it, stay out of the way, but some do not. And it starts to play on you, and I can't hit
well
with them right there.
The problem is a lot of times, well, they'll do two things.
Mm-hmm.
They just simply won't stop. They'll be in the middle of the fairway mowing towards you right
yes.
where you're going to hit your
I can
drive.
See them in my periphery vision.
Oh,
I know
well,
they're
you
coming.
You don't even have to see them peripheral. They're
That's
straight
true.
Ahead of you.
Well, oh, yes, ahead of me.
Right
yes.
in the middle.
Yeah, that happened to me today on number 5. I had a really nice drive, but I saw him coming.
And the other thing they do, which gets me worse, is they will come up close to where we are. They could be right behind us or right beside us,
mm-hmm.
and they'll turn and stare straight at us.
It's a good thing we're not on tour because we can't play with an audience.
We can't, and it's one person, but they're staring right at you.
They are. Some of them will just sit and look at their phone, and that's fine, and go away. And I always have to say to Mom, they're not looking. Just go ahead and hit. They're not looking.
Right.
And this is your thing, is that you just flat out won't hit it.
I can't.
You pick up the club, you pick up the ball, and say, I can't do
no,
it.
No, we're going to the next. I'm going to put it down
I'm
going to
come up
is.
Where you are.
That's right.
Okay. That's what she does. No, she won't hit it at all. It works so bad on her that she can't she can't do it.
Well, all right, let's say we might pass the mowers, and let's talk about your chipping.
Now,
you have it in your head that you cannot do that. That you have it that you cannot chip or you can
I am
headshot.
Not a good chip player.
See?
Lofty player.
See what you just said? And of course you can't because you said you can't do it. You just flat out say I can't do it.
I'm the worst sand player that's ever
well,
been.
We're going to get to sand.
Oh, okay.
This is where you take a 7-iron.
I bump and run it.
Bump and run it for way out there. And that's so much harder. You can't stop the ball.
No, you can't, but I'm a bad lofty player.
Well, okay, then... What happens if you get close to the green or where you would normally hit a wedge or something like that and you have to hit it over the
Then
sand.
I have to get that club out and start praying.
But you do it.
Sometimes. I've heard some people give tips and stuff on Twitter. It was actually Julie Engster
I'm
who did it.
I'm talk about her.
Okay.
This is a sand
Oh,
discussion.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm talking about when you have to go over the sand. And there's no way you can bump and run.
No.
And you do. You can do it.
Most of the time.
You just get it out and hit it right on.
Well.
Why don't you do that
because
every time?
There's a sand in front of me and I have to do that.
Well, if you keep bumping and running, you're going to never make a par.
That's not true.
It's a miracle if it stays on the green.
We have greens here that are as fast as an ice skating rink.
Yes.
And I'm not kidding. So, and that really is a mental game here. You go on other courses around here, and they're generally, you know, average and stuff. But you go up to where we go, it's known that you can, they're just gone. They're gone.
You even know the how you measure it.
Yeah, I forget what exactly. But I remember going, oh, that's pretty
impressive.
High.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, just get in your head that you actually can hit, because I've seen you go right up there and hit it on the green. So I would like for you to try that more often instead of bumping and running every time.
That's coming from somebody who has a perfect chip shot. That's your best shot.
That's because I know I can do it. I just step up and do it.
Oh, God.
The other thing about that to keep in your head is what I've told you. What have I told you about the grass?
What about it?
The grass, when you hit.
Look at the grass. Keep looking at the grass and stare at the grass and keep looking at it after it's gone.
Correct. When the ball is gone, you're still looking at the grass. And then you can hit a wedge shot, a chip. Okay,
that's a big mental obstacle right there. Okay. Huge for me.
All right. Well, look at the grass. Okay. Now, we get to the sand. Now, you used to say you could never get out. Never.
It's very different. That is the worst shot for me.
But now you've overcome that because of Julie Angster. Well,
she posted a video. It was short, and I think it was on the Legends Tour Facebook or something, or Twitter. And it wasn't a 45-second thing. And she showed how she did it, and it has stuck with me. And since then, I have been able to do a little better.
Oh, you've done a lot better.
Just from what she said to do.
Right, because you used to say, I can't hit it out there.
I used to just pick it up.
Well, yeah.
Like I'm not going to hit it.
And I've seen you before, like over on the back nine on the 17. I've seen hit it 14 times. There.
Well, I'm not leaving until I get it out.
I know, that is impressive.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Because you didn't leave and you
quit. No, I'm not quitting.
Thank you, Julie Angster.
Yes, thank you, Julie Angster, who will never hear this, but she has changed my sand game. Yes.
And
that was a mental thing.
It was.
Totally.
Yes.
But she's got something in my head now, which is mental, that I remember every time.
Correct. Okay. Now, let's talk about the ball color.
Oh, ball color. Well, do I need to mention yours right now?
No, I'll talk about my situation in a moment.
Okay. Well, I have to have three different balls with me all the time. And it needs to be a white one, a pink one, and a yellow one. And otherwise, I can't start. I can't play. Now, I always play with the yellow one. The pink one comes in if I think I have a shot at maybe messing up and it gets into a natural area or whatever. I only play white when I have to, because you play white ball and you'll hit my ball.
Don't you think that's strange?
No. They make different colored balls.
But when you play that pink one, we can never
see it. You can't see a pink ball. No, I don't know why, but you cannot see a pink ball. No. And the ball that I lost today on number one was yellow. So I had to play a pink ball the rest of the way. And it made me crazy.
No, it does. See, things get in your head.
Well,
why can't you get out a nice white ball and just
I can't.
It?
I don't want to play with a white ball. You play with a white ball.
Well, I wear polo white colored shirts, too. So.
I like the yellow one. My favorite player, the Dame, she plays with the yellow ball because she can see it.
Yeah.
And I can see it.
And that's okay as long as it doesn't ruin your game.
No, it doesn't ruin my game. But if I'm not playing a yellow ball with a certain brand name title list, then I can't hit it.
Well.
And that's true for you,
and
too.
And that's true for me.
It has to be a title list, period.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. I agree with that part.
Yes, and that's generations worth of golf right there.
That's called brand what?
Everything.
I mean, loyalty.
And, yes. Okay. Yes, absolutely.
I do have that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now we're to one of the last things, and that's your putting.
Putting.
Now,
everybody's going to think my game is horrible.
No. actually. Actually, you could be playing par golf and do sometimes.
Sure.
But the putting is, it's better, but when you three putt, you can hang it up.
Well, here's what happened. About a year ago, I stopped being able to putt.
I know that.
Yes, and I couldn't putt anymore. Putting has never been a bad part of my game. It's not really the 100% strength. Driving pretty much is. But putting has never been really, really bad. But then one day, it just poof,
went away.
It went away. So I started getting different putters.
Yes, that was my next thing. This is weird.
Well, we went through mini putters.
Oh, you bought them from overseas?
I bought them from overseas. I've tried everything. I got out my old ones. Right now, I'm using probably my oldest putter
I have. It is the oldest one.
It's an old Scotty Cameron Tylus. Old.
Mallet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a mallet. I can't play with a blade.
So. So.
And you can.
Well, the putter is not it. It's you.
No, it's the putter.
It's not you. Now, it is you, not the putter. Now, what about, I told you, the thing. The thing to be able to putt smoothly. It has to do with food.
Butter putter.
Got it. Explain that.
I tend to push it. And when I push it, like a lot of people know, it ends up just popping, just a little pop. And it's not as smooth, and it won't make it. And then there's where the three putts come in. So she finally looked at me and said, it's smooth, like butter.
Like you're putting through melted butter.
Right, so butter putter.
And now...
It's better.
It's better.
It's a lot better. Mm-hmm.
You still can't hit the 3-footers, though.
Five.
5-footers.
Can't hit 5-footers. It's very difficult.
Because you step up and say, I can't hit this. And then you don't. And then you bogey the hole.
That's true, but you can hit 50-footers, as our listeners know.
Well... That's, you should learn from your mother. So, all right. So, I guess before we get to the final hole, I could mention a few of my quirks.
Yeah, let's mention yours.
Yeah, well, I don't have as many as you.
Well.
So, all right. So, one of them is they have this new Titleist ball. They're probably on other brands, and it has a little red directional mark on it.
Yeah, like when you're lining up the ball, it's got, what, three little red lines or just one?
It's a little small, short, but it's
it's a little lineup.
Who can
red
hit that?
Thing.
Who
can, I could hit that.
It. What if it's faced the wrong way?
Well, then you pick it up, mark your ball, and line it back up.
You can't be moving your ball out in the rough, and it goes, and you can't move it, and the line's going the wrong way.
Well, then that's a golf ball problem. Like, my color is your line.
Even if I move it and it's on the other side of the ball, I know it's there.
Right.
And what if it's pointing the wrong way?
I've ordered her golf balls before, like for a birthday or something. I had to make sure to not get the ball with the red line on it.
No.
She won't hit it.
I can't play with it.
No, then that's your mental problem.
It is a mental problem. So I suggested by getting some that do not have that.
Right. We have made sure that the golf balls I gave her for Mother's Day did not have the red line.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then another thing is, I am definitely a senior golfer, way senior. And when we play this course that I played for a long time,
it's long.
There are things I cannot do anymore. And that's very hard for me to accept. Number seven, I used to hit a good drive down the valley, take a 7-wood, hit it on. It's a par 4, and I'd have a chance for birdie. Now, that does not happen. So, I'm trying to get on there in 3 and have a chance for a par. You have to adjust or it will get in your head that I need to do what I did when I was 30. And you can't. I mean, I can't.
You've adjusted. You've adjusted well.
Well, I've had to adjust.
You're short but straight.
Short
and
but
that's
straight.
What matters.
Right, and you keep saying that to me. You know, I can't come near your drives anymore.
Well, it doesn't matter because you make it up on a chip shot.
Well, I don't totally, but that does keep me playing. So if you're having problems like that, you know, you're not going to play like you did when you were very young, probably. And so just have different expectations, I think. Like right now, I'm off the course for...
Yes, we've had a minor... injury. Well, I would say maybe
no,
medium
it's not bad.
Size, yeah. Medium size injury. She she broke her wrist, and as a golfer, that's
not good.
That's not good.
That's not good at all.
Yeah, it's only a couple weeks old, so she's got a cast on. When she first did it, it was past her elbow. They changed it,
right?
And now we're to that, and it'll probably be on for another 6 weeks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But what's going to happen?
But to keep her mentally stable, the minute that we can, after she feels a little bit better, we're going to go out on the golf course, and she's going to ride with me. Now, she'll probably be standing there telling me what to do and not do, but just to get you back out there, just to see the course, is going to be a mental victory.
Yes, and we've been through this before in another incident, and I got back out there.
Yes, so, three times.
Three times.
That's somewhat big things that have happened, and you've come back every time, and you will again.
Right, because the last time I hit the ball, it was good.
Yes, played really well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I did.
Yeah, you really did. So we'll get you back out there, and we'll ride you around. At least you can see it.
Right, and I'll get back on here and talk about how I did that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, absolutely.
All right,
but yeah,
so
we're
now
in cast.
We're to the final hole now.
Okay.
What happens to you on the final hole? It happened today. You go up there and you say, I'm going to, and then you do it.
Are you talking about number 9?
Yes.
Well, this hole, we have some beautiful holes. That's
great.
Not it. It's,
no.
It's my fault. But this hole, number 9, is a short par 3, and it's surrounded by sand, of course. And the green is elevated, as many of ours are here with the hills and stuff. But I did it today that I hit my 6-iron really well all day. So I still, because it was an even day. And so, but I was playing with the pink ball because the yellow one was gone.
But
so I couldn't see.
That's not an excuse.
No, but it's in my head.
Yes.
But nobody was on the driving range, so I didn't have to see that, because
right.
That's a mental thing. It's our number 9 is lined up right next to the driving range, and if there's one person out there, she won't hit it.
No, because I'll come across the ball and hit him right in the
see,
head.
See, that's what you think's going to happen, but that's not always what happens. But anyway, and so I hit it just sort of fat and hit it right there in that sand.
Because you said you were going to.
Because I said I was going to.
And then you did it.
And I did it.
And even Julie Inkster didn't get you out this time.
No, this one, it made me so crazy that I sat there and did that. Because I knew, because I did it last time.
How many times did you stand there and hit it till you got out?
About 3.
Okay.
But I did get it out with Julie's advice. Mm-hmm. And I did make it. But I stood up to it and I said, don't hit it in the sand like you did last time.
Right.
And then I hit
and
it in the sand.
And then you hit it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So that's the key. You can't come up to the... Now, this is what I learned from one of my very favorite players, of course, the Dame, as I said, Laura Davies, and she's been doing these little tips on Twitter and all that stuff of little things to do. And she posted a video of herself saying... Now, there's water on the right side of this hole. It's a really tight fairway. You've got to learn to not step up and go, avoid the water, avoid the water, avoid the water, because, you know, you'll do that. Well, then not an hour later or whatever it was, she posted some bonus footage, and she had hit it in the water. And she said that she hasn't hit it in, she called it a lake. She hasn't hit it in that lake. She didn't know
ever.
When.
Right.
And she sat right there and did it, and we watched her do a drop.
It's because she talked about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, there you go.
Right.
So, there you go. But, yeah, that's what I did. I stood up in my head and said, don't hit it in the sand. And that's what I did.
Yes, you did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I could go on and on, but I think that's all the main things.
Those
you
all
do.
The things we can criticize my mental game with.
Your mental game, is, but it's pretty good. You've overcome some things, and
it is.
When you get old like me, you won't care anymore, and you'll just go out there and play and have fun. So
okay, well, I hope that this somewhat helps a few people to know that all of us have our quirks, and that we all know that golf is mental. Every one of us know that, but sometimes that's okay. And if you want to make sure that your glove and your hat and your shoes match before you even get to the course, you have to be able to do that. Any final thoughts that you want to say, Dr. P. Sr., or is that
I would just say this, because this bothers you. Forget what you've done. Mm-hmm. You're out there playing, and you've been in the sand, and you've three-putted, and you've done all that. Here's the thing. Play the next shot.
Play the next
That's
shot.
That's the beginning of the rest of your game. Just go, leave all that baggage, and play the next shot. That's my advice.
There is your mental sports psychology from Dr. P. Sr. Play the next shot. Thank you so much for joining us today, I guess. I hope the next time that you get a mental hang up, you can make your way out of it and continue to play the game that we all love so much. So when you get a chance, head over to talkinggolf.com and check out the wide variety of golf podcasts you're sure to enjoy. Email me anytime at onthetwithdrp@gmail.com, and you can find me on Twitter at drkelly04. Play well, and remember, always go for the flag.